Challah Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph 3:1, a new perek and a great one, not too difficult and really fascinating. The topic begins with when the obligation to take challah kicks in. Now, the truth is there are going to be two stages to this question, and this really follows the same pattern. If you recall, when it came to Trumas Amisrus, foodstuffs really had two stages. They had Onas Amisrus, which was the earliest time when you could take Trumas Amisrus, and then there was Gmar Malacha, the finishing of the processing of the food, at which point one must take Trumas Amisrus. And there was a difference that in that intermediate stage between Onas Amisrus, but before Gmar Malacha, the food was edible but hadn't finished being processed yet, so one was allowed to eat the foodstuff Achilas Arai in a casual happenstance way, just not Achilas Keva in a formalized way. Remember Maseches Maisrus, we discussed that at great length. So something very similar is happening here with challah. We have two steps, a beginning and an end, and the beginning is the earliest time one could take challah, the end is when one must take challah, and between the two, one, as the Mishnah will say, one may eat achilas arai, one may take from the dough in a casual way. So what are those stages? As soon as one adds water to the flour, assuming that you've got the flour made of the five species of grain, wheat, oats, barley, spelt, rye, and assuming that you have the requisite amount of flour, 5/4 of a kav, as the Mishnah says, 43.2 eggs volume, so then the obligation will kick in potentially, and you could at that point already separate challah from your dough, and that will be fine. And in fact, as we'll see a little more later on, I'll speak out that Chazal end up saying that that's the proper time to take it, midirabbanan. So it's taken as soon as possible if the dough is tahor, and to make sure that things stay tahor. But one still need not midoraisa. He doesn't have to take challah yet. And that being the case, one could still eat achilas arai from the dough until the finishing of the processing, which is called gilgul. Gilgul, literally from the word like to roll or rolls together, the idea is when you thoroughly blend the flour and water together, you get like a single mass of dough. It's all sort of uniform and clumped together as one. Once that happened, that's the finishing of the making of the dough, the equivalent of a gemar malacha, and at that point one must take challah, and achilas arai becomes forbidden. I should add, if one didn't take challah for whatever reason, and he bakes the dough, the obligation to take challah exists on the baked breads. But the proper thing to do would be to take it, still take the challah in the dough stage, midoraisa, when it's gemar malacha, finishing of the gilgul, the blending, and then midirabbanan even earlier to avoid mishaps. More in the halacha lemaisa a little later on. Now, a side point, barley, which is used to make bread sometimes, a very low quality bread, is very low in gluten and doesn't really clump together very well at all. So we'll see the stage for gemar malacha with making barley dough requires basically packing it down and squishing it together with your hands because it doesn't naturally clump together. It's more like it crumbles apart. It won't stay as a sticky dough, not enough gluten. It sort of crumbles into bits and pieces. And that being the case, it won't make a single gush, a single clump. So you have to sort of squish it together with your hands. If you look at like barley bread recipes, you'll see they always add some extra regular wheat flour to it to make it work. Okay, so that's the backstory here and the beginning of it. So let's start with that. The Mishnah says, Ochlin arai min ha'isa. One is permitted to eat casually, like take a sample of the old cookie dough while still in the dough form, until you finish thoroughly blending the wheat flour together with the water to make a single clump of dough, or ve sitamtem besorim, until you're squished together by hand manually and hold together the barley dough. I should add, Chazal warn that raw flour is kashla kukiyani. It's you can get intestinal worms from raw flour, so they advise against it. And even if you think you sift your flour very well, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, advises strongly against eating raw flour because of E. coli, which makes people sick from raw flour from time to time. And that being the case, you should not take from the cookie dough or bread prior to it being cooked. In any case, but you wouldn't be in violation of eating challah, the Misa B'Dei Shamayim issue wouldn't kick in for that. The Mishnah continues on, Gilgala b'chitim v'timtama b'sorim. Once you have thoroughly blended the wheat flour with the water into a single mass, or the equivalent with the barley flour, then ha'ochel memena chayiv misa. Then the obligation for challah has kicked in, and there's no even permission for a rye, a casual consumption. And if one would consume a kazayis of dough at that point without taking challah first, he is over the isser of eating challah, and there's a misa b'dei shemayim, a premature death penalty. Now, the Mishnah continues to say, listen, the proper thing to do is kevin shi nosenes es amayim, as soon as you've added the water to the flour, meaning, but prior to Gilgal, prior to the thorough blending of the water and flour together, already then, magbas chalasa, the proper thing to do at that point is to lift up, meaning to raise up and remove a challah portion. That's a din derabanan. Derabanan, we want you taking it out as soon as possible because we want this tahor dough to remain tahor as challah for the kohen, and the longer things stick around, the more time there is for an accident to happen and make the dough tummy. That, of course, therefore, would not apply if the dough were already tummy. If the dough is already tummy, there's no reason to be afraid that the challah could become tummy, because it already is going to be tummy. And that being the case, it's better to wait till Gilgul, when it's finished being processed, and to fill it properly mid to oraisa. And that's certainly the custom nowadays. Nowadays, people wait until the end, thoroughly blended dough, and at that point they separate it out for that reason. Okay. The Mishnah goes back and says, if you're going to be doing what the Chazal said you should do with your tahor dough and removing the challah early on, prior to Gilgal, prior to being thoroughly blended, you have to make sure, ubilvad shlo yehei sham chameshes revam kemach. You have to make sure that there isn't still 5/4 of a kav of flour in the bowl, in the kneading trough. Because if there is, that is still flour and not dough, so you're not, it's not going to be covered automatically by your taking of the challah. And that being the case, when you make flour and water combination from that flour, you've got a new dough, if you will, that's untied, that hasn't had its challah taken, and therefore you'll be sidestepping and not fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraisa of taking challah. That's no good. So therefore, the Mishnah's point here is you should take earliest on possible, meaning when the flour and water mix, before it's thoroughly blended, midrabanan, but provided that there's less than 5/4 of a cup of flour left of unblended water and flour together. The Yerushalmi points out, and this is how the halacha ostensibly is set, that the truth is you could take your challah prior to the mixing of the flour and water, and even if you still have 5/4 of a kav of flour unmixed with water at the bottom of the bowl, provided that you make a tanai, you stipulate that when you're removing this challah now, you're saying it's only to be effective on the batch of dough once you've got that other flour mixed up with the water together, and that would be effective, and it seems that would be like a good way to go about doing it. But in practice nowadays, people just don't do it. They wait till the end because it's all tummy anyways, and they'll take challah after it's all been thoroughly blended. Fine. As I said before, if you didn't do it then, the chiyuv still remains after baking. You'll have to still separate challah once it's baked. And one other point, which is in that on the baking angle, is if one made loaves of bread, let's say, from batches of dough that were not required to take challah from because they weren't the requisite amount, like let's say only one kav, not 5/4 kav amounts, whatever it is. So then, you know, let's say, you know, only 7 cups of flour at a time, but you make multiple batches. So you add one batch of 7, another batch of 7, and so on. And then if you put those breads together in a single container, like a basket, like a laundry basket, whatever it is, single container, that container is going to combine them. And then because of tseruf, they're aggregated together. There's an obligation, once again, to separate challah. So you have to be a little careful of that and be mindful of it. The lachos are actually kind of complicated about when tseruf actually happens. So if you're not sure if you need to take challah or not because of the volume you're using or because you've made 2 batches which maybe are combined, then you need to please ask your local Orthodox rabbi.